Now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm not saying there's one way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Definitely not. But for many of you, I know that one way you celebrate is through sex toys. So you can make this Valentine's Day one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Now, through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, of course, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit for free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something for everyone, plus a free DVD of the adult kind for inspiration, of course. And that's not all. Oh no! We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's Day offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, free shipping when you enter offer code SEXNERD. But you have to enter in our code, SEXNERD. That's SEXNERD at AdamandEve.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hey, naughty monkey. It is Sex Nerd Sandra here, and I am about to unleash on you our first Love Lab exercise. It is a whole episode dedicated to Skype calls that you left messages for. There are several of you who left messages and then deleted them. Dude, friend, sister, what did you say? I want to know so badly. Don't delete the things. Oh, so curious. Anyway, the rest of you, I'm so thankful that you wanted to play. And I also had my friend Jason Porath of Rejected Princesses. He's been on the show several times. I had him read a couple of emails out loud. So we have that as well. Let's see what else. Oh, a couple dates. Let's see. I just finished a whole thing in New York and in San Francisco, San Francisco Sketchfest. If you attended, thank you very much. I loved coming out there. We were at the Academy of Sciences Museum, which was an honor. I mean, there was a rainforest. There was an albino alligator. There were jellyfish. I mean, there was a lot going on in that amazing place. The next night, I was at Stageworks, which was a small theater, and oh my goodness, the things that happened during the Friends with Benefits recording. I can't wait to let you listen to that in a few weeks. So I flew to New York City for it was basically 48 hours in the freezing cold. I had a hotel room, don't worry. And I set it up for that meetup I announced before for the New York Sex Nerds, and it worked so well. Thank you if you came out. We gathered in a circle. It was a bunch of us. And we passed around the mic and I asked questions and you all asked questions. And it was so fun. So I look forward to releasing that episode as well. So many good recordings. Oh, I'm like hoarding delicious audio. Just like, okay. So coming up, I'm excited because I am going to be speaking at Humboldt State University at the end of the month. So if you're at Humboldt in Arcata or Eureka, I will be there the 27th and 28th. March 1st, I'll be in Ashland, Oregon. Now, there is a boutique there in the middle of the Redwoods called Love Revolution, and they had messaged me a while ago, and they really are just hard to get to. So because I'm at Humboldt, I will be making my way up. March 1st, I'll be teaching an oral sex class there. I'd love to see you if you're in the area. If you know someone in that area, let them know as well. It's going to be a drive. It's going to be a drive, but a pretty drive. And this Monday, of course, February 9th, I will be teaching an oral sex class for everyone. My favorite thing about talking about oral sex on all genitals is the fact that we all have it in common that at some point our jaws give out, our tongues get tired, our necks can't hold the weight of our heads. What do we do? What do we do? Well, we're going to talk about it and all sorts of pleasure as well. Good times. Good times. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Well, let's get into it with our first question.
Hi, Sandra. My name is, you know what, never mind what my name is. I heard your podcast today with Cameron Esposito, and the offer to call you up with a thought or question about sex. And so I have one. I'm a long-time fan. Thank you for the opportunity. It's really lovely of you. But my question is, our thought is about safe sex and when it crosses the line into stunting intimacy. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years now, and we're really in love, and I love him, and we have a great sex life. But I'm too scared to have sex without condoms. And I have an IUD, so which I know is extremely effective, but I still don't feel quite safe. And we play around and stuff without condoms, but then even after we do, I think, well, people can get pregnant from pre-cum. People can, it's happened, and it makes me feel so scared, and it makes me sad because I feel like after so much time together, I kind of want to up the intimacy and do that with him. But I don't feel quite comfortable doing that. Oh, my gosh. Only 2 minutes, I think. Well, I'm going to finish up. So then the other thing is, how is it possible to have safe sex without a condom and without fear at the same time? Because I pretty much count the days down to my period filled with fear. And I have a lot of fear around sex because I am very pro-choice, but I don't want to have to make that choice. And the first time I ever had sex with another virgin, when I was a virgin, I got an STD. So I always feel like the consequences of sex always come to me. And a lot of my friends who have unprotected sex never get STDs and never get pregnant. And I wonder if some people just have the capacity to, or instinct or sense of who, biologically speaking, of who doesn't have STDs and who to mate with and when they're ovulating. And then I also wonder, maybe are our bodies programmed somehow to know when sex isn't possible? Is my body responding like, no, you want to have sex without a condom because that's not going to make a baby, despite the IUD thing. But I wonder if that's a part of it too. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I love the show. Have a wonderful day, Sandra. Bye.
First of all, that is hilarious that you almost left your name and then did not. You're like, never mind. Oh, girl, that's a mess. I'm so sorry to hear all that. You caught an STD with a virgin? I know that technically is possible. I feel like there's more drama there. It feels a little drama. But the thing that I'm hearing from your call, I've listened to it a couple times, just some stuff I couldn't quite understand, but sounds like you do not trust yourself and you are terrified. So a few things. One, so I hear that you don't feel safe, and you're worried about pre-cum getting you pregnant, and you want to up the intimacy. Here's the thing. When you ask, at what point does safe sex cross the line into stunting intimacy? Yeah, it doesn't. Intimacy is way more complex than no condom equals more intimate than condom. Sounds like what intimacy means to you specifically is for you to, and your male partner to be able to have intercourse and him to ejaculate inside you. That's what I'm getting, that you just want the old basic baby making action with no babies. Yeah, you have an IUD. Those are over 99% effective. Yeah. And it's smart of you to be using more than one birth control method because sometimes a birth control method fails. Smart. I am not a nurse nor a doctor, so I can't necessarily tell you what's going to work with what. It sounds like if your IUD is non-hormonal, like the copper kind, like what I used to have, maybe ask your practitioner if you can do a hormonal like patch or the depot or the ring, or, you know, it's a whole world of options out there. I mean, that might work wonderfully since those are over 90% effective as well. You're using condoms, and I know it feels safe to use a barrier along with your IUD, but here's the thing. Condoms are one of the least effective birth control methods. And I know you're still already scared, so maybe I'm just terrifying you more. And I don't want to do that. Oh, my goodness. But you're smart to be concerned. And I am not going to make fun of your feelings. Like, oh, stop being so scared, girl. Like, it's going to be fine. Because things do happen. The thing is, the percentages are in your favor, especially when you're using two methods of birth control. It seems like you're just really shell-shocked from that first time you had sex and getting an STD. Now, without having more information about that, we can't really delve into it too much, but no, you're not broken. You're not broken. Some people get STDs the first time they have sex, and other people, they sleep with everyone under the sun and don't. And it might be because they used barriers while other people didn't. It could be just because of where it was located on the person's genitals. There are a lot of things that contribute to contracting an infection or disease. It's not like you have like the shame mark over your head where you are going to have every terrible thing happen to you. You know, some people, you know, that friend who walks around and thinks like, oh, I never win anything. Nothing ever good happens to me. And they take a few select experiences and then just decide that everything is always terrible for them. And they are special in that way. While other people just, oh, they're just always winning stuff, always making good friends. Like, they're just, nothing bad will ever happen to that person. Neither of these are true, but it's just our selective perception of events that makes us think this is true. And you, my friend, are over 99% probably going to be fine with no pregnancies, especially because you care so much and take such precision, especially if you mark off and do the, the rhythm birth control method so that you know when you're ovulating. You can also do withdrawal so that your partner doesn't actually ejaculate inside you. You could layer over an implant or the ring or whatnot. Because you've got an IUD, that might not work. So maybe the patch or something like that. But hey, that's what nurses and doctors are for, not me. Like, you're going to be fine. Really, because right now we're dealing with a lot of intense emotions and a distrust of yourself. And it seems like it's almost gone to the point where you think that me and all the people that we know are better at selecting partners and having a sense of how to not have pregnancy than you. And I don't know you. So, I mean, but you sound like a together lady. You sound like you're together and fine and able to make intelligent decisions that positively affect your life. And please find the empowerment inside yourself to just, yeah, check out your birth control options. Figure it out. If you can't knock this fear out with solid science, I recommend, and I may just keep on recommending people to go to therapists, but this sounds like a fear that is a little bit irrational. And I think you know that. So let's knock it out so you can have some more sex. Just to make sure you know, pre-cum doesn't have sperm in it unless the person has ejaculated and not peed since. So as long as your partner urinates, pre-cum should be fine. Okay? So withdrawal method, as long as they urinate, it's great. Dr. Doe, that does the YouTube video series, Sexplanations, has a fantastic video on the withdrawal method. I highly recommend you check it out. This is, of course, me saying that on top of your IUD and possibly even one more method that maybe you and your partner will not be using condoms. Okay? I feel for you, girl. I feel for you. Okay. Oh, goodness. That was fun.
Hello, Sandra. Thanks for opening up this line. I don't have a question at this time, but I just wanted to make a comment and give you some feedback because I don't do Facebook or Twitter or social media, any of that stuff. Number one, I'm bad at it, and number two, I just don't want other people contacting me for no reason. Anyway, so I did want to give you some feedback. I started listening to your show probably around this time last year, and I really like it. And the reason I don't have any questions is you hit so many topics, and I haven't even finished going through all of your podcasts yet. I drive for a living, so I listen to it on a regular basis, but there's just so much to hear. And I appreciate a lot of the things that you put out there. A lot of it doesn't pertain to me, but, you know, I am curious. So, you know, I get some good information from your guests, and I do like a lot of the comedians you're associated with. So just want to let you know I really like your show, and I like your personality. And me and my son did come to one of your workshops out in L.A. We really had a good time. And I just want to tell you I really appreciate everything that you're doing out there to keep up the good work. And thank you, and I'm going to keep listening and keep referring you to many other people.
Well, there's not much I can say to that except thank you. Thank you very much, and rock on with your bad self. I love that you are curious and willing to explore all the places that we go here on the podcast. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Sandra. I need your help. I've gone through a lot of crap the past 6 months. I've been single for 3 years, and I'm sick of it. Facebook says I have a lot of friends. I really don't. I'm actually very, very lonely. I go to movies alone. I drive alone. No one ever asks for my number or wants to hang out. I'm on the dating sites Plenty of Fish and Scout, and not one girl has messaged me and been interested. They view my profile. 99% of them never talk to me. It's so predictable. I don't ask for much. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It's so aggravating. I even put on there that I'm going into the army, which I am. I must not be good enough for anyone. Frowny face.
Aww.
I know. Aww.
First, I'm hearing a couple things. I'm hearing that you don't have activity partners. I'm hearing that you don't get messages from women on dating sites. And then at the very end, I heard that you seem to be interpreting all this to mean that you are not good enough. Okay, so do you inherently think that you're not good enough? Or are you just finding that these limited bits of information are telling you this? Because dating sites and profiles, these are all crafted, curated, artificial expressions of who we are. This isn't just a pure Xerox copy of your whole being online. No. So maybe you need to update your profile and maybe rework it. Okay. Maybe get new photos. But there's a lot that you can do to up your game with dating site profiles. But the fact that women aren't actively sending you messages, lots of people do not get messages on dating sites for many reasons. So let's not try and overanalyze that or jump to conclusions. All right, my friend. Okay. I'm not going to try and overanalyze it. I'm just saying you sound pretty sad about it. And I think there's a lot of hope really though. Okay. And I did look up your Facebook profile. You look like a really shy dude. And so that's also going to be a little more challenging. Not to say that it's dire. I'm just saying that being kind of a shy to yourself individual, it's harder to magnetically attract people to you. So do you have hobbies? Because for me, I am really bad at talking to people unless we have a shared interest that I already know about. So just a regular party, really difficult. But if it's a, group cooking party where we're all making sushi rolls together, then it's like, oh, we can talk about the thing we're doing. Meetup.com, I think, is fascinating for that. And it's helpful to come together around an interest like hiking or crafting. I don't know. Beer tasting. I don't know what you like. Don't put so much on a person that you may in the future be in a relationship with that, oh man, no one wants to go to a movie with me. I don't know people. No one's writing me a message. I must not be good enough. Oh, suddenly somebody is interested in me and wants to go on a date with me. Oh my God, you need to be my activity partner. You need to fulfill my sense of importance in this world. You need to make me feel desirable. Like that's a lot to put on a person that you might one day date. Like, take care of yourself. Go find people that have shared interests to go be with. Go find friends. And not even, you don't have to be deep friends. Just people who also like to skydive or dumpster dive or whatever it is that you do. You know? Just remind yourself that you are worth this happiness that you seek. And please take care of yourself. Seriously. Nurture your needs. and practice all that socializing, connecting to others, really, and ask for feedback so you can know more about how you are received by other people and versus how you feel inside. Because I know for me, who I am and how I feel, very different than how people see me. And that is sometimes is challenging. And so I have to be aware of that in order to better express who I am to others. I hope you have fun at the Army and in that knitting circle you're going to find or whatever. Thank you for writing. I appreciate it. And thank you, Jason Porath of RejectedPrincesses.com, for reading that one out loud.
Hi, Sandra. I'll try and keep this as short as I can. My lady friend was on top of me last night, and I was harder than usual because we hadn't done it in a few days. She took advantage, and mind you, she's not much taller than 5 foot, but the angle in which she was grinding onto me produced a deep, resounding crack with almost instant softness. I was still able to get the job done. Go you. But I wasn't nearly as hard. The pain wasn't as bad as the psychological strain of not knowing if anything's wrong. There's a slight tenderness, but not much more sensitive than usual. I looked it up a bit, and they said to look out for any discoloration, which I haven't seen. But I tense up unbearably at the thought of the whole experience, and I hope you can help.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Dude, look, this goes for anyone with any kind of acute physiological trauma, especially to the genitals during sex. I am not the person to write or call or ask about that. You need to get yourself to an urgent care, to an ER. You need to find a urologist to talk to about this. And I know that it feels weird to talk to a medical person about these things sometimes, but honestly, your body is important. And yeah, you may have damaged your penis in a way that you need medical help, but writing me a message that you may not get a response for many months or years or never, that's not how you go about getting information. You deserve appropriate treatment and healthcare for your body. That means all of your body and your behavior, having sex, masturbating, whatever it is. If it has hurt you, you are still worth the medical attention of a doctor or nurse. You deserve the healthcare. And I know it might be expensive, but I know that some feelings of embarrassment or fear can keep us from getting the healthcare we need. However, permanent damage to the genitals is probably down the road going to be worse for you than feeling temporarily embarrassed. I went to the doctor once on a college campus because I was having extreme pain on my clit. Once the doctor checked me out, they said that I had lacerations on my clit from, they didn't say what it was from, but it was from having some just fairly rough, not even that rough, sex. I think because my partner had shaved their pubic hair area, I had a lot of pain from that. And I was glad to get checked out. I was glad to be told how to bathe myself and take care of myself so that I could heal. Cause I was terrified as to what the heck was going on with my genitals. However, that healthcare practitioner was also very judgmental of me for having sex. And, she didn't say anything outright, but just her eye rolls and her face, her judgment, just judgy face, real judgy face about it. I walked out of there feeling awful, but hey, my clit's still attached to my body. I took care of it. I didn't get an infection from those little wounds that I had created, and we all moved on. I believe I did actually file a complaint against her for her sex negative attitude during her exam, which you are welcome to do if you do experience something like that. That doesn't mean you're bad. It means that your practitioner is bringing their personal experience into the exam room, which should not be the case. There are plenty of amazing, wonderful healthcare providers out there who are not going to do that kind of thing. And they're just going to be like, oh, you may have hurt your penis a little bit. Do this, do that other thing, you know, and you're going to be fine. I want you to be able to take care of your body and to be able to advocate for yourself and your needs. Writing me on Facebook like this guy did. Was it Facebook? Or was it email? I don't remember where he wrote me. If you're ever going to write me on my email, sexnerdsandra@gmail.com. Don't write me on Facebook because I can't search through those and organize them at all. And it's basically a black hole of messages that I can't really figure out what to do with. So I care about you and your penis and all your vaginas. I care about all your genitals. Oh, take care of yourselves, you guys. Okay, that was an intense one. And I appreciate it. And I hope that you are doing much better now, sir.
Hey, Sex Nurse Sandra. I'm calling from Tennessee. I love your show. Two things. I'll be 34 this year, and it'll be 34 years that I have never had a girlfriend on Valentine's Day, hence why I can't stand this holiday. But my real question is what are you supposed to do, or where do you go to try and find a quality relationship if you've become embittered towards women from previous relationships that have utterly failed? And also don't have a disposable income in order to try and find one in the first place. So thanks for letting me call in and ask the question. Bye.
Oh boy, dude. Okay. This is some heavy action right here, dude. And I'm going to say, dude, you guys, I grew up in Southern California. Dude, it's part of my repertoire of how I reference people. Oh, you sound so angry. Oh, do you even know how angry you sound? Yeah, real angry. Not like in that hot, heated, you're going to punch something kind of way, but just in like that sort of sitting inside you and waiting kind of way. That's almost like a chip on your shoulder. The question from what I heard was, where do you go for a quality relationship when you're embittered at women for negative experiences in past relationships? My friend, there is nowhere on this earth that you can go where you can escape that feeling in your history. This is something for you to process and find context for and expand your worldview around these experiences. Now, I totally get you on hating Valentine's Day. Plenty of people have a lot of negative feelings about V-Day. I'm not holding that against you, especially since you haven't had someone to celebrate it with. I feel you on that. Now, in terms of experiencing negative behavior from women in the past, now, that could mean a lot of things. That could mean you were dumped. That could mean someone literally was mentally ill and you experienced that. It could mean someone cheated on you. It could mean that they left you and didn't explain why. Oh, I already repeated a different one. Basically, I have no idea what that means. And so this is not a call where I feel like I can process those experiences of what women have been like in your past experiences, in your relationships. So here we are. You're 34 years old and you're craving a relationship. You want a healthy relationship, it sounds like, which is fantastic. But you've got this negativity toward women. So let's say you and I go on a date, first date. You are already feeling the burn of what has happened in your relationships before. So me, as someone on a first date with you, no sense of what has happened before. I'm already starting in the red because you're projecting onto me possibly all the women that have come before. And so I'm already being perceived as a bad guy here. That's not a fun date, you guys. It's just not fun. Now, I hate to always say get a therapist, and because it also depends on the therapist, but it would be good for me. It's not just talking about your feelings in around and around and around for months and months and months, because that can be expensive and difficult. But I think it's a valid thing to write out exactly what each person did, just a bullet point list. Left me, stole my car, you know, burned down my house, you know, whatever it is they did. In order to be able to see it in full black and white, because there's the feelings of it, and then there's what actually happened. I am concerned about people who go out into the dating world when they are just angry at the gender that they usually date because of past experiences. Because that's just not, it's not going to set you up to win, especially with someone new, and it's not going to set them up to win. And I want you to win. And so we got to process this anger. I would think that you wouldn't want to be angry and distrustful and hurt the rest of your life. And a new person isn't necessarily going to be the catalyst to create that healing. That's just like the other email about finding someone to make them feel less bad about themselves. That's a lot of pressure. So I would prefer going to a therapist. There's lots of low-income therapists who are being trained, and so it's easy to go to them. I want to deconstruct this so bad. Oh, that's the problem with the voicemails. Oh, okay. I want to know so much more about this. I'm curious, dude. I'm open to the idea of actually having a Skype session for the podcast with you just to figure this out. Oh, I want to do so much with this.
Hi, Sandra. I absolutely love your show. It's got me through a lot of really horrendously early mornings. I'm calling because I saw your post about love lab questions. So here's my question. I'm a 25-year-old pansexual woman in the Southeast. And several months ago, I remembered that because of Facebook, I have an artistic nude of myself hanging up in an ex-casual friend's bedroom. Now, me and her are on great terms. We still go to lunch. We're friends. And if I asked her to, I know that she would take it down. But I don't want her to take it down. I'm really proud of it. I think it's a great picture. So here's my question. How do I bring this up with potential partners? Am I obligated to tell them, or should I only tell them in the event that we're going to go to this person's house? Because I don't want my potential partner to think that I'm being dishonest or I'm untrustworthy. And so in the name of openness, I'm all for talking about it. But I also don't want them to feel super insecure and awful because of it. So how do you think I should bring this up with potential partners? Thanks, Sandra.
Hey, thanks for calling. This is an amazing voicemail. I don't even know what to do with this because there's so little to be done about it. You have an ex-casual friend, which, by the way, is a hilarious term for somebody that it sounds like was a casual lover. So you don't want this picture taken down. It almost sounds like the analog Facebook issue with exes on Facebook. I am someone, just so happens, that does not take down my ex's pictures on Facebook. It's part of my history. Enjoy it. There it is. Hey, I don't tend to try and cover up the past. This is a nude. Now, what's fascinating to me is that you think that someone you date is going to feel insecure or awful because there is an artistic nude of you in someone else's bedroom. I want to know more about the story behind this picture. Is it a photograph? Were you modeling? Was it like, paint me like one of your French girls in the middle of the night? Like, I feel like there's a wonderful story here. I don't think you need to tell anyone anything. It seems like you're proud of it. I'd tell somebody just because it's like, hey, I'm a pretty spicy person, FYI. I don't know. I think the picture is less important than if you were taking them to your ex-casual friend's house, who was actually somebody that you used to sleep with. That seems like the issue. But not even that that's an issue. It just seems like you're leading a cool life. You seem really proud of yourself, proud of your history, and you're worried that somebody that you choose to date won't be awesome enough to handle who you are and what you're proud of. So maybe treat this picture as just a way to see if somebody's awesome or not and worth your time. I mean, I don't want to really wave my feminist flag like no one owns your body. You own your body. So don't you dare put that into the hands of somebody else. You were a model. This is a piece of art. I mean, if it was like a really odd selfie nude that was blown up and framed, that might just, you know, that might not be so great. But if it's a tasteful art piece, dude, what? I imagine you in the car with your future lover and telling them on the way to your ex-casual friend's house, a very good ex-casual friend, so casual friend, if they are no longer casual, are they an official friend? Ex-casual friend, no longer a friend, no longer casual. I'm confused. Anyway, you're in the car with them, headed straight for the picture. I imagine you can tell them in two different ways. Hey, just so you know, I don't know how you feel about this. It's kind of weird. And I just really don't want you to feel bad about it. It's not as bad as you think, but I just, I want you to know you can trust me, even though it seems like you can't. There's a picture of me in a bubble bath with like a partial nipple exposed in Cynthia's bedroom. And I just wanted to let you know, it was my college years, and we took a lot of art classes. I don't know what, are you going to say it like that? Or are you going to be like, dude, when we're there, we have to go into the bedroom, because, and then tell the story, insert story of a neat time that you were the model of a piece of art. I have no idea how you being in a picture in your ex-casual friend's bedroom would mean that you are dishonest or untrustworthy. I feel like we could replace the phrase nude photo in my friend's bedroom with I used to be a spy, or I did jail time, or I broke into a bank. I stole candy from many babies. I don't know. It's like, it sounds almost like you're a criminal and being dishonest and untrustworthy. It's just a piece of art in someone's bedroom where your body is exposed and you are proud of that. Own it. It's pretty kick-ass, you know? All right. I'm enjoying this so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you for calling in, writing in. You need to keep this going if you want Love Lab to happen more. Oh, I got kind of into my like narrator voice just then. 310-928-3261. I have plenty of episodes that I just recorded. Lots of wonderful interviews coming up in the next several weeks. I am happy to never do a Love Lab ever again. But I also love and adore you for calling in and asking me questions. If you want to keep this conversation going, please keep doing it. So again, 310-928-3261. You can also look me up on the Los Angeles Yelp. Just type in Sex Nerd Sandra. The phone number will pop up. Okay, I gotta go. I like you. Have a good one. Go team fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.